Some of us have heard or used the expression mother hen. If we approach a hen and her chicks, we probably will see that the hen tries to hide the chicks under her wings. If we get closer and closer, the hen is probably going to become pretty vocal. If you've never had that experience, you can if you go out to a farm. It's pretty typical. And it's not surprising to find that in the scriptures, the Bible, God uses this imagery to describe how he wants to deal with people. It is, if God is pictured as having wings in various places, and we'll look at some of those verses this morning, and he wants to bring people under the shelter of those wings. This imagery is also found in other parts of the Bible besides the Gospels. It's found in the Old Testament. In the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 12, the writer speaks of finding protection under Jehovah, the God of Israel. In Isaiah chapter 31 and verse 5, the prophet spoke of God hovering over Jerusalem like a bird would hover over its nest. Today, as we think about hens, a lot of people see them as little more than an egg-laying machine. But in the scriptures, as we look at the word hen, it brings to mind the ideas of protection and care. Most know, if they've had any association with a farm, that chicks need protection and care. There have been cases where chicks have been out in a rainstorm, they would not come under the hen's wing, and they die. In other cases, we've heard about the fox in the chicken yard. There have been chickens or chicks that have died due to predators. We could use a lot of different examples from the scripture to demonstrate God's protection for his people. But if you turn to the scripture reading that was announced, John 18, this is the passage that I want to use to demonstrate this point. In John 18, we see that a mob had been sent to arrest Jesus. This is also the chapter that tells us that Peter took a sword and cut off a man's ear. In John 18, verse 19, we're told that Jesus appeared before the high priest. And as he was before the high priest, he was questioned. If you've never looked closely at John 18, verse 19, there's some information here that might surprise you. The high priest, therefore, asked Jesus of or about his disciples and of his teaching. Let your mind, if you will, focus in on these few words. The high priest has Jesus appear before him, and he asks the Lord about his disciples. Now, we're not specifically told what questions the high priest asked. We do know what he asked about, that is, the disciples. And we also know that when people ask about someone's associates today, the questions that they ask usually follow some basic patterns. For example, who are your associates? Give me their names. I want to know who you are in association with or in fellowship with. Or they might ask, where do your associates live? You tell me where your followers live. How many disciples do you have? What are your associates doing? Are your supporters still supporting you? Notice in verse 19, Jesus is asked for specific information about who his associates, who his disciples were. And yet, even though Jesus was apparently pressed on this particular issue, he did not answer the questions. Rather, the story continues with the information in verses 20 and 21. He's asked those questions, but Jesus answers, I have spoken openly to the world. I ever taught in synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together, and in secret I spake nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them that have heard me. That's Jesus' response. What I spake unto them, behold, these things, they know these things which I said. Jesus was asked for specific information about his followers, and he didn't give it. He gave a general answer. He said, if you want to know what I've taught, if you want to know who my disciples are, you go out and you research it. And then we have this information in verse 22. And when he had said this, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? The key point that I want to emphasize is that Jesus protected his disciples from harm as he was being interrogated. He did not try to use his apostles as a scapegoat so he could avoid some type of punishment. The Jesus that protected his people in John 18 is still the same Jesus that protects his people today. In John 18, the Lord was truly like a hen that covers its chicks. Paul dealt with this same basic thought in the book of Colossians. And I'm also going to be reading, if you have an outline, you'll notice that we're going to refer to this passage in a couple of ways, but we're going to read Colossians 3, verse 3. In Colossians 2:12, Paul said that these people had been buried with Christ in baptism. And when a person is brought into Christ in this way, when they're baptized into Christ, it is at that point that they receive this protection. Baptism brings people into the shelter offered by the Lord. Paul reminded the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 1, that this protection results in some obligations. Paul said these Christians were to seek the things that were above, where the Lord is. He said in Colossians 3:2, the mind needs to be centered on the things that are spiritual instead of the things of this world. And then in Colossians 3, verse 3, he says this, "For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God." If we have become a Christian, the Bible says that our life is hid with God. That's just another way of describing this protection that God provides for his people. The word "hid" is an interesting word. It's used elsewhere in the New Testament. It's the word found in Matthew 5, verse 14, where Jesus said, "A city on a hill can't be hid." But that's not true for us. We can find protection. The kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden, same word, in a field, Matthew 13, 44. There was a servant who was afraid to use his talent, so he hid it in the earth, Matthew 25, 25. People took up stones to destroy Jesus, but the Lord hid himself, same word, John 8, 59. And then Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months, Hebrews 11, verse 23. God says that the Christian's life is hidden with him. And if that describes us, if we were a Christian, we're under the shelter of God's wings, we're going to be okay. Paul also describes this in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 7, where he said there is the peace of God, and that's going to guard the heart of the Christian. A basic promise from God to people in the world is, that is his people, is I offer you shelter. And my shelter, my offer is 100% secure. Now this protection, of course, is not against all the temporary problems found in this life. If we're a Christian, we're still going to get sick. If we're a Christian, we're still going to face some hardships. God's protection is primarily against the problems that man cannot face on his own. This protection should be of interest to all people. It's certainly available to all people, but not everybody is all that interested in receiving it. In fact, there are some people who hear about God's protection and they reject it. If you have an outline, you'll notice you should have on there Luke 14, verses 34 and 35. I cite these passages because there are some people that do spurn God's protection. And I want to read these verses now. Again, Luke 13, the information that we have in verses 34 and 35, the end of the chapter. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets, and stoneth them that are sent unto her, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her own brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and I say unto you, ye shall not see me until ye say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." God, here, Jesus, claimed that heaven offered shelter to the people of Jerusalem many times. "Often I wanted to protect you." God offered the shelter, God offered the protection, and yet the people responded very, very badly. Jesus said that when the prophets came to Jerusalem, the people mistreated them. They killed the prophets. The Jews did about everything that they could to anger God and cause God to withdraw his shelter. And yet Jesus said, even though you've spurned, even though you've rejected the protection heaven has offered time after time, it was still being made available. As you look at the information in Luke 20 or Luke 13, you find that it's also the same information, basically, that we have in Matthew 23. Sometimes we have the information in more than one place because it's the same information, it's just being given in a different book. But sometimes you have basically the same words and the occasions are different. And that's true here. It's not just basically the same information, but you have in Luke 13 this information being given at a time that is point A, if you will, and now we come to a time that's much later, point B in the Lord's life, Matthew 23, verse 37. So Jesus, at this earlier time, says, heaven would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, and ye would not. And yet, shortly before Jesus goes to the cross, he picks up this theme once again and says essentially the same words, a different occasion. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that kills the prophets and stones them that are sent unto her, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Because the Jews refused to heed God's offer, Jesus said they were going to lose their city. Looking at the information in verse 38, "Behold, because of your rejection, your house is left unto you desolate." And that was true. In 70 AD, the Romans came against Jerusalem. The city was overthrown. The temple was destroyed. Judaism fell apart. Today, there are still people. God still holds out that offer of protection, but there are still individuals who reject it. People want to live in the way that they choose. People believe that their own strength, their own resources, or their own intellect can protect them. But God says that we cannot protect ourselves. One of man's most serious problems is sin. The Bible says all are guilty of sin. In Romans 3:23, the scriptures tell us, "For all have sinned," past tense, "and fall short," present tense, "of God's glory." Sin is not our only problem. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 10, the Bible says that the devil is an accuser of people. At various times in life, we find that people are accused of various things. Sometimes an accusation is made against someone, and it's a small accusation. It's a silly accusation. But there are other accusations that are made in life that are serious. Accusations that may be a criminal complaint. Accusations can be a very serious problem. The devil is a real creature. And John reminds us in Revelation chapter 12 that the devil wants to accuse us of sin. If people are not under God's wings of protection, the devil stands ready to accuse them. And when the devil starts to accuse people of sin, there's only one defense to overcome those accusations, and that's the blood of Christ. In Revelation 1:5, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus looses us, frees us from sin. If we've not been loosed from our sins by Jesus' blood, the devil can successfully accuse us of sin. We noted from Colossians 2:12 how we access the benefits of Christ's blood. The Colossians were buried with Christ in baptism, and that's what we need to do today. Some see the need for God's protection from sin, and they accept it for a while. But for one reason or another, they decide after they've embraced God's protection that they're going to move away. They're going to get out, if you will, from underneath God's wing, and they think that they're going to be all right. The reasoning sometimes is, well, we're going to move away from God, and if things start going badly, then we're going to come running back. And then we'll once again embrace the protection that we need, but as long as we're okay, we're going to stay out here and not really be all that close to God. There are certainly some times in life when protection is temporary, and that's all that we need it for, a limited time. If we have injured a body part, we may need temporary protection for that part as we recover from a medical procedure. The winter months are here, and most of us during this time wear some protection that is temporary. Most know that they do not want to lay aside that protection until the danger or the threat has passed. The Bible warns us that in the spiritual realm, this danger, this threat, is not going to pass away or cease as long as we're on the earth. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Peter said that Satan is like a roaring lion going about looking for people to devour. We may be able to leave God's side for a day, a week, a month, maybe a year, and pretty much be okay. Just because we depart today, that doesn't mean that Satan's going to show up on our doorstep today. It may be tomorrow. It may be a few months from now. But the Bible warns us that he is going to come. He's out there. He's prowling. He's looking. And he's standing ready to accuse people. When he does find us, his mission is always going to be the same. He wants to destroy us. As long as there is life in our physical body, there's only one safe place to be, and that's with God. That's why in the New Testament, the scriptures repeatedly talk about being in Christ. It is in Christ where we have the protection. That's where we're underneath God's wing. Being outside of Christ puts us outside that protection. That's where Satan is lurking. In Psalm 97, verse 10, the writer wasn't thinking about in Christ, but he was thinking about the protection that God offers. He said, Psalm 97, verse 10, God preserves the souls of his saints. Another Old Testament reference, Proverbs 18, verse 10, says that just the name of the Lord is a tower that the righteous run to and are safe. When we think about the protection in Christ, it's described in a lot of different ways in the Bible, one of which is the way that sin is dealt with by God. As you look at sin, it's described in a lot of different ways as far as forgiveness. In the Old Testament, Psalm 103, verse 2, it's referred to in spatial terms. Sin, when it's forgiven, God offers protection to his people, and they embrace it. The sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. In the book of Zechariah 3, verse 9, it speaks of removing sins in a single day. God can take care of them immediately. In Micah 7, verse 19, sin is spoken of as being cast into the very depths of the sea. That's God's protection that he offers to his people. The devil's not going to be able to accuse us of sin. In the book of Isaiah chapter 44, verse 22, the Bible portrays sin as disappearing like the morning mist. It's gone. It's no longer there. Also in the book of Isaiah 38, verse 17, sin is pictured as being cast behind God's back. He's not going to look at it. It's as if God is hiding it. In Hebrews 9:26, the scriptures refer to sin being put away. And then in Psalm 51, verse 9, sin being blotted out. A big part of God's protection to people is the full removal of sin. When God says, I'm going to bring you under my wings, I'm going to offer you protection, I'm going to offer you forgiveness, that is 100%. There is nothing left for the devil to use to accuse God's people of wrongdoing. And if we've sinned just one time, we need that protection that God offers. Our world is filled with advertisements about protection. We see, as we look at the paper, TV, there are ads about protection from ID theft. The world talks about protection from various diseases. Our bank probably wants to sell us some form of protection. Life insurance, auto insurance, house insurance, all of those things are marketed because they offer a certain degree of protection. But you know, the greatest protection that man will ever be exposed to is the protection that most do not want, or the protection that most will get and do not keep. Sometimes chicks have more sense than human beings because they know they need protection. And they'll come to that hen and accept that protection. But the Bible also says we need that protection. We don't want to be like the people in Luke 13 or the people in Matthew chapter 23 where God says, I waited and I offered and did that often and ye would not. How sad. But there are so many people in the world that that's how they live. God says, I offer, I hold out my hand and ye will not come. The protection in Christ, the forgiveness where God puts the sins behind his back, casts them down to the depth of the sea. They are as far as the east is from the west. It's still available. It's available to every single person. And it's available in the same way that it was accessed in the first century. People believed. And for that protection, they had to be willing to turn from the old life. Repent. They had to be willing to acknowledge that Christ is the only hope. And they had to be, just like the Colossians 2:12, buried with Christ in baptism, so the sins could be put away, Acts 2:38, they could have the newness of life, Romans 6, verse 4, and live as a faithful child of God. This morning, if we're old enough to know right from wrong, as we think about our spiritual condition, where are we? Are we under the wings of God in Christ? Or have we made a decision where we are outside God's protection? In it or out of it? Only two basic choices. We pray this morning that if you are not under the protection of God, you've not become a Christian or you're not living a faithful Christian life, you'll do what's necessary to mend your relationship with God. If that's something that we can help you with, we'd like to do that, and we'd like to do that now as we stand and sing the selected song. Full self.
for